So yeah, I actually got the clip this week. Hello everyone, welcome to the 5 Point Podcast. I'm Bobcat, and with me, feeling a little under the weather, is...
I'm Burke. How are you people? None of you care about me, go away.
This week, we're continuing Paint It Black Month, and we're looking at the anime...
Black
Legend
Heaven!
Of, A.K.A. Legend of Black Heaven.
Nope, it was Black Heaven. Clearly there were no legends involved. Especially not in any kind of rock form, ever.
So here at the 5 Point Podcast, every week we look at the first 3 episodes of an anime, and we decide whether we think that this show is worth your time. We look at it based on 5 points, which I usually list off, but you know, it's on the website. This is our 23rd or 24th episode. You can figure it out as we go along.
It's really, really self-evident. If you saw a single one of ours before, yeah, I'm sure you.
Yep. So let's get to our first point. First impressions. Burke, what did you think going into this?
Why do you continue to ask me that? I don't know anything about any of these animes we ever see. All I knew was that apparently you liked it after the fact because I had a lot of things that held me up from watching it, and it might have actually been good. If it was or not, you'll have to continue listening. So, my opinion was Black Heaven? Okay.
Okay. I kind of had AMV knowledge of this going in. Because, I think it was the first AMV I ever posted on our website's AMV of the Week feature was Code Monkey using this anime. So, I kind of had a vague idea of the plot, or at least some of the characters involved. But, aside from that, all I knew is that it involved space and rock and roll. And that's enough for me.
Hmm.
Oh, and this is yet another request from Angel of the Wolf.
She had a whole lot of blacks. We just really assaulted her list.
Yep. So, with that in mind, let's move on to the story.
Hi. How are you? The story is... You're allowed 5 salaryman impressions. I will keep track of them. Go for it.
Okay, so this one's about a salaryman. I'm not even going to bother doing the full 5. I'm satisfied now.
Yeah, it's about a salaryman. He used to be a rocker.
His name is Oji.
Then he got a wife and a kid, and now his life is miserable.
Pretty much. Like Burke said, former rock star. Don't know how big of a rock star. I guess not big enough that he can live off the royalties because he has a 9-to-5 job, or possibly a 9-to-later-than-5 job, like many Japanese people have. And he lives in a small, cramped apartment with his wife and son. He barely interacts with either of them. He's just going through the motions because, as far as he's concerned, his life ended as soon as he had to stop his rock and roll career.
The first episode barely even had the wife and kid as characters.
Right.
I think one of them may have had a line.
Right. We are introduced to our character when he wakes up to get to work, and he's on his way when he notices that his wife has attempted to throw away his favorite Flying V guitar, which is pretty much the last remnant of his former glory.
It's better than that, though. She doesn't try to attempt it, you know, while he's at work or anything, no. She puts it in the garbage bag. It's sticking out the entire time. He's looking dead at it a lot. And he's just so brain dead from his life as a salaryman.
And being exhausted.
And being exhausted. And worn out. And that he just... It takes him until he's starting to walk away and get on the bus to work for him to realize, wait a minute... My guitar was in there. Oh, God,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. We later learn that she's been slowly throwing away all of his old memorabilia.
Yeah, all of his discs, all of his vinyl records, all of his guitars. Though she didn't realize how many she had been throwing away until...
Until later.
Yeah.
We get our first hint of weirdness because the show doesn't really start with him. The show starts with a... Robotech/Macross-style space battle.
Yeah.
And we also get a hint of more weirdness in that, as he leaves, there are 3 girls doing morning exercises on not a roof, but like a balcony.
Awning.
awning, that's it. One of them says, people are looking at us. Well, our research said that Japanese people start their morning with exercise, so we're doing exercise.
They're not the smartest women.
No.
So
from there, I don't think that this is a plot we really have to go through in any great detail.
I could try to sum it up right here.
Okay.
As it turns out, for whatever reason, this one man's guitar playing is enough to power an alien super weapon that is being used across the universe trying to fight off an evil alien empire. So the good aliens have to convince him and get him to play his guitar so that they can win the war against the evil aliens. And the representative that they have to convince him to do this is an attractive blonde woman about his age.
A very busty blonde woman. Actually, I think she's probably a good deal younger than him.
Maybe. It's hard to tell how old he's supposed to be.
That's true. Because he always looks really tired, so that adds about 10 years to my mental estimate of how old he is.
Yeah, he looks like he might be in his mid to late 30s, but, like, character-wise, but physically he looks to be late 40s, early 50s.
Right.
She looks to be about mid, late 20s, early 30s.
Right.
Also, my cat is trying to say hello, but I'm moving her.
So, the story from there out, like, once the premise is revealed, it's basically sort of shenanigans where
hijinks.
This attractive blonde woman is trying to, take him away for long periods of time to have him play his guitar all night so that they can power their super weapon, and the aliens have no idea why this works. It isn't just that it's a mystery to our hero, but the aliens have no idea why the power of rock and roll helps them fight. It just does.
Yeah, it actually really, really bothers one of them.
Yeah. Because it just doesn't make sense. So, you have that plot going on. And at the same time, they realize, oh my god, his wife is going to get really suspicious if he sees them together too much. And so, it's sort of a game of keep away. Like, they have to keep the wife occupied so that they can have him play guitar for them.
And along the way, for whatever reason, honestly, it's kind of... The three supporters are really, really... They're airheads. They're big ol' airheads. And they seem to think that what's really doing it is the excitement of the whole thing. And excitement is gotten through adultery. And they really do not help the wife's crazy paranoia. Especially when they apparently knock out the two main characters and put them in bed in lingerie with one another.
Without those three there, things might have gone well.
Yeah.
Now, this is probably the shortest plot summary we've ever given. And you might say, wow, nothing happens in this show. That's where you'd be mistaken.
Yeah, a lot happens, because this is all spread out through three episodes, but it's not fillered. There's not filler in between, it's just a whole lot of character interaction, and a lot of character study that does it. Oh, and also, this is not exactly a show for the younger kids, because sort of briefly, female nudity is seen.
Oh, yeah. No, it would qualify as a softcore porno.
R-rated movie, at the very least.
Yeah, R-rated movie. So that gets us to point three, characters. So...
we have OG.
Right. OG is a big part of why I like this show. Because he is a character who life has beaten him down badly. And he spends a lot of time moping about the past. Normally, that type of character, right now I'd be calling them emo, or I'd be mocking them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is that with OG, it works. And the reason it works was that most anime characters who are moping about how horrible their lives are about 15.
Yeah.
I can't take Shinji Ikari seriously stressing about, or, moping about how horrible his life is. But somebody like that, we get to actually see every moment of his day and just how much of a miserable grind it is.
Yeah,
his wife doesn't understand him. He doesn't have a relationship with his son that we really see.
Yeah, it's not terrible in that he lost his mother at a young age and his father was emotionally abusive to him and other cliche things. It's terrible because his wife ignores and ultimately belittles him. His son's not even really a character, really. His work is not fulfilling in the slightest. His dreams are completely shattered.
Or if not shattered, he's... The stage of his life where he could dream is over.
Yeah, they're extinct at this point.
He has nothing to look forward to. He's already fulfilled what he wanted to fulfill.
Yeah, and that even that had to be cut short because he got married. So, yeah, it's the mundaneness of it that really sells it. Plus, we do get some interesting insights into his thoughts, and he's still at heart a rocker. A very anti-establishment and all that, but he's still putting on a happy face and going with his wife to go look at condos and whatnot.
Right. He's basically sold out to the man for practical reasons.
Yes. So that he could survive and support his family.
And I would say the fact that, okay, the kid looks up to be about 5 to 8 or in that range. The fact that he's done this for so long is really admirable in a way. Because... you know, a lot of people wouldn't be able to put up with it. Like, a lot of people would have just left and been deadbeat dads after a year.
Yeah. And really, let's face it, if he had any kind of success as a rocker, and it seems like he did, him giving up his career to have a family is such a rare thing for any rocker.
Yeah. It speaks to... a strength of character that you don't necessarily see a lot.
Yeah, that, and he has these moments when he just goes temporarily insane, and it's quite amusing.
Yes. So that brings us to the other woman in his life, named Layla Yuki, the alien.
She is kind of oblivious to a lot of things, actually.
Yeah, she basically is there for her mission, which is to make him rock out.
Yeah.
But she's obviously attracted to him.
In a fashion, yeah.
Right. Like, at one point, she kisses him, leaving green alien lipstick on his cheek.
Yeah, though, as he just said, it wasn't a full mouth-to-mouth kiss, it was just a kiss on the cheek. So you could easily interpret it as it just being her job. There's not an outright romance going on here, and that's part of the draw of the show, but we'll get more into that when we get to the wife. Layla here is very dedicated to her work. She puts up with her subordinates far more than I ever would have. Especially considering what she wakes up in. And she has to deal with a superior officer who is kind of a colossal prick.
Didn't they say that he was her boyfriend or something?
At one point or another they implied it, but I don't trust those three at all.
Right. So we've got that going. Like, she doesn't necessarily have a lot of character yet, but at least explicitly, but you can imply things about her, or you can infer things about her. I hate it when people use those two words incorrectly. But yeah.
And yet you did. Good job.
Yes, I'm sorry. Basically, she's sort of a plot device at this point, but she's a plot device with obvious depths, and you want to know more about her.
Yeah, she's very interesting. She captures your attention, and honestly, I would like to know more about her.
Yep.
But she only works as well as she does because she is in comparison to...
the wife, Yoshiko Tanaka.
Yoshiko.
Yeah, Yoshiko is possibly the most complex character in the show.
A little bit.
Because, at first glance, okay, like, there are a lot of dramas and stories out there that are about adultery and finding a new love, where they make the wife... utterly unlikable, so that you're rooting for the adultery to happen.
Yeah.
It's like the gender-bend version of the typical romantic comedy plot, where the girl's already with the nice, stable guy.
Yeah.
Except that in this case, Yoshiko's kind of horrible.
Kind of. Not even kind of. She is. Basically, well...
and yet,
okay,
she realizes that she's horrible.
Yeah. But here's a good idea of her daily life. She has several neighbors who are all gossipy hens. And she has a son who may or may not be going to school. And that's really about it. She doesn't have a whole lot going on in her life. Apparently her entire life is dedicated to her son. And
her household.
To a lesser extent, yeah. Not her husband, though, because as far as we can tell, her husband may be a better cook than her, and I think he makes his own lunches. But her life itself is a kind of parallel to his. The only difference is she's more or less content with it, and she never had the rocker past that we're aware of.
Right. She basically likes where she is. She just kind of wants to look for a better place, because right now they're in one of those tiny Japanese apartments where
they all sleep in basically like the room right next to the main room.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of space.
Like in America, it would be like that's like a bachelor pad sized place.
Yeah.
And it would be a smallish bachelor pad.
Yeah.
And that's part of why she started throwing his stuff out.
Yeah, because there simply wasn't enough room, and for a lot of it, he understood. The only thing that he did not want to get rid of was his last guitar, the Flying V, and he actually had it well out of the way. She had to go out of her way to get rid of it, and she does get rid of it. When the threat of another woman who is far more attractive than her, because to the show's credit, she's not bad-looking, but she's very average.
Right. Meanwhile, the alien lady is
your typical anime female lead.
Except the typical anime lead, like, she's bustier than the typical anime lead, and that's hard to do, but she is.
Yeah, but it's not all that obvious until she's in lingerie.
I thought it was kind of obvious from day one, but
Depends on the angle.
So, Yoshiko realizes, you know, a bunch of her friends are saying, you know, such and such, his husband was fooling around with someone at the office. What do they have in common anymore? I hear that she was throwing out some things that were important to him. And Yoshiko's like, oh my god. I mean, it's not like I've been throwing out too much. I mean, when we had to get that new TV, I had to get rid of some of his posters when, you know.
Amps and then she gets to the guitars and she realizes the last one she threw out and put in the garbage was the last one.
Right.
And she really went, oh, crap, and she left. She didn't really care as much when she thought that their life was nice and content. It's when the element of him possibly leaving her comes up that she realizes what she has and why she wants it.
Right.
And that's actually a fairly interesting character point. It's very, very different. It's very human.
Right. Which, I have to say, just to go back to story a little bit, was not what I was expecting when I heard that it was a show about a guy who fought aliens with rock and roll.
I got a kitty cat who wants me to rub her belly, and she's stretched out across my lap.
Anyway,
I wanted all you people at home to know.
The only other characters really worth noticing are the three underlings.
The Airheads!
Basically, if you listen to our Heat Gay...
Heat Gay J!
Heat Gay J, the porno doujinshi version. Anyway,
Heat Gay J.
Yes, if you listen to our Heat Guy J review,
yeah,
they're the floozies from that.
Wait a minute. This is the second time that that characters from Heat Guy J has graduated to another anime.
To be fair, it's not like these are particularly deep characters. They're just sort of three dumb bimbos who do stuff in the background.
And we do mean bimbos. No offense if you're a woman, but...
These three are bimbos. The floozies were more intelligent than these people.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to comment on the old hens that the wife has to deal with. They are terrible people. Because they are both putting down the husband and putting down the wife in the same sentence by the same people. They just...
For the same reasons.
Yeah. They're just terrible, terrible neighbors. And I hope they get away from them really, really soon.
Yeah. But as far as the characters go, what makes this anime interesting is that it's a very mundane human type of drama where there's mystery. Like, you wonder, well, how did Oji and Yoshiko get together in the first place?
Yeah.
When they seem to have absolutely nothing in common.
And no chemistry at all.
They have nothing in common, no chemistry, and yet it's obvious that they care about each other. And so you just... You want to see more.
Yeah. I will comment on the son briefly. He is a very happy little kid. He's apparently very content with his life. He likes his parents. He's just a very average, normal kid. which I guess speaks well of how they've been raising him.
Yep. The only thing I would say is that he seems to have no relationship with his dad, probably because his dad works so much.
Yeah. From what we can tell, his dad gets up at like 7 or 6 a.m., goes to work, doesn't come home till it's already dark and everyone's going to bed. That's if he just comes straight home.
And let's not forget, this is the backdrop of an alien invasion or an alien space war. That it's just very creative that way.
It's very, very well blended. Everything works wonderfully and adds to one another and contrasts well.
Yep.
That, and apparently there's a TV show that is extremely similar to the alien.
Yeah, like the son sees Layla and he's like, "You're the girl from the show!"
I really hope that becomes a plot point later.
So since we've talked about characters now, we can go back and talk about the story a little bit. You don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
And they set things up so that you could be satisfied with him sticking with his wife, or you could understand him leaving his wife.
Yeah.
You kind of want both to happen at the same time. And so there's tension.
And, okay, I can't, I wanted to rhyme tension with tinchy, but I can't think of a good enough joke. So supply your own, folks. Polygamy!
That would be one solution to the problem, but I don't think it would be a viable one.
It'd be a hilarious one, because you know you'd want to watch the series where they try to coexist.
And you wouldn't see it coming, but...
Yeah. But...
Speaking of not seeing it coming, point four with no transition.
That... No.
So point four is presentation, which is pretty much everything that isn't writing-related.
The dubbing... Okay, first off, we have to note this because it is a big part of everything. This was made in 1999. From what I...
This is so old that you can find the VHS on Amazon.
Yeah. This was made late 90s, 1999, and the dubbing was done about the early 2000s. When we still had the Towers 2000s.
Yes. When back... And this was made by Genion, which is now defunct.
Yeah. The voice acting's actually fairly well done. It's pretty good. It's a lot like the Trigun dub or the Cowboy Bebop dub. In fact, they share several voice actors. One of the most notable ones to me is the character Jack Black from Cowboy Bebop. His voice actor is the main character, Oji. And he actually gets to show off a fair amount of range. He goes from being the bored, tired office worker to a very calm, understanding man to... insane and half-crazed. The rest of the voice acting is more or less okay. It all works. All the characters sound good. The kid, surprisingly, sounds really, really good.
Wait. Scoot back a second. Did you just call the guy from the Cowboy Bebop movie Jack Black?
Yes, he's from Nacho Libre. Shut up.
Alright, so overall, this is a very good dub cast. In fact, this is better as a dub than a lot of the later stuff we've reviewed.
Yes. Well, again, it's the same quality you would expect from Trigun or Cowboy Bebop, and those are legendary for having excellent dubs. Possibly even right. Better than the sub, or the original.
Right. We can't judge that because...
We haven't seen the sub, the original.
Right. The website we found had it dubbed only.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to final thoughts. Some of the voice actors are a little wooden, but overall, this is pretty excellent. It's very in keeping with the, like I said, Trigun and Cowboy Bebop, that whole quality thing.
So let's talk about the animation. It's good animation. They made a couple of little stylistic choices that I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
One choice that they made was to have OG often display bursts of superhuman speed for comedic effect.
Yeah.
Personally speaking, if I was doing this type of thing where I was mixing a very mundane life with a alien invasion subplot, I would make sure that the mundane people were as mundane as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And the cartoony super speed effect kind of diminished that a little bit. A
little bit. I'll be honest, it may get... Maybe he's supposed to be an alien. I don't know.
Maybe. That would be an interesting twist. It might actually explain why his rock and roll could power their stuff. That is a really minor quibble, and it's not so much about the quality of the animation as how they chose to use it.
Yeah. One thing I noticed, and it might have just been the video player, though it would be kind of weird if it was, because the video player I saw, everything looked very crisp and clear. There wasn't any real glitches or anything. But every now and again, especially on the first one I saw, the voice actors saying their lines did not always match up with the character's mouth movements.
That had to be the player. They wouldn't release it like that.
Yeah, because it was just, it was very distracting for the first episode. It was better in the other two, but it was still something of an issue. It felt like the animation was a little stilted at times. But for late 90s animation of a 13-episode series, it wasn't bad. It was really, really impressive.
Yep. And this is, of course, before they had computers helping them out.
Yeah. That's why I specified the year.
Yep.
But, all the characters look interesting and different, and especially the ones that are supposed to be mundane. I mean, what I mean by that is that the mundane characters look mundane, but they also look unique.
They're distinctive.
Yeah. The wife is very drab and plain, but you're not going to confuse her with any of the other characters. Even each of the bimbos, they all look different from one another, even if it's only the hairstyle, hair color.
The opening sequence, like the theme song sequence, is interesting and kind of off-putting at the same time.
A little bit.
First off, the theme song is pretty awesome.
Yes.
It's basically like heavy metal rock.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I will quickly interrupt this just to comment on this fact. The episodes, at least of the first three episodes, are all songs. They're all song titles from famous rock songs from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, roughly when the main character would have been active, which is a neat little thing, like the first episode, Stairway to Heaven.
I hadn't noticed that. Okay.
And there are all sorts of little references and nods towards the subculture of heavy rock from that era.
Okay. At least to continue. And that's actually a nice segue. The opening sequence, okay, you'd think, okay, maybe it's the alien stuff, or maybe it's his everyday stuff, or maybe it's the alien stuff meeting his everyday stuff. No, it's for the opening animation, it almost looks like they rotoscoped, like they traced over live-action footage of a bunch of late 80s, early 90s rockers being weird.
Yeah, it's like almost no one is going to understand this, because I don't think MTV has done anything like this since the mid-early 90s, but it's almost like a very experimental MTV music video that is done purely to catch your attention.
Yeah, it's very strange, and it doesn't necessarily match the rest of the tone of the show. But it kind of works because it's like every episode you're reintroduced to his origin story in a strange way.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense when you actually know the story and the characters.
Yeah, like when I saw that opening sequence, I was like, oh god, what kind of animation am I in for?
Not gonna lie, I was too. I thought you were lying to me for a minute there.
Yeah, it looks kind of ugly. Ending theme, the show can be kind of shameless at times. And the ending theme is a great example of that.
Kind of.
It's complete. Okay, the show is completely shameless. The ending sequence, the animation is the three bimbos in bed snuggling with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. For an idea on other things like this, the first episode has the main character briefly have a fantasy of having an affair with Lila, and yeah, it's the R-rated scene we mentioned from before. It's nothing too explicit, but there is female nudity and implied sex. But it's all in his head, and for a brief little callback to character, he quickly decides he's not going to go ahead with the affair, but then he realizes that she's already dragged him to where she was.
Yeah, he was kind of drunk at the time.
Yeah, a little. But he was going to resist. So that earns some point. And then nothing actually happened. So that's him saving the universe.
Right. So that's just sort of my last thought on presentation, is that this is a very shameless show that balances a lot of different aspects.
It's fun.
But yeah, just like as it's presented, they make a bunch of decisions that I wouldn't make, but it works.
Yeah, and whoever made this was obviously a big fan of the late 60s, 70s, and 80s rock music genre.
Yeah. So I guess that brings us to final thoughts.
You may go first.
Okay, so let me give you an idea. This podcast is supposed to, on the net, make me money. It is not so far. I've actually been buying advertisements on Project Wonderful and such.
You have $10.
You know, we specifically were after anime that we could watch for free online because we didn't want to have to buy anime. Apocalypse Zero was an exception, but it was one I was willing to make.
And this one, around it anyways.
And this one, we couldn't find it for streaming anywhere. It wasn't on Netflix. We had to go to some bootleg anime site that had one of the a viewer there, which was what Burke was talking about before.
Yeah, it's questionably legal.
Yeah. Well, it's questionably legal on our end. It's downright illegal on their end.
Yeah. Not as bad as actually downloading it, but still.
Yeah. Well, after I watched the third episode, I thought, okay, I have the rest of this anime available to me if I want to watch it. And I do want to watch it. You know what? Let's see how much it is online. $50 box set. Okay. This is the first anime I've actually bought that we've reviewed. Like, without having to buy it in order to review it.
And I will specify one thing. That is only because Hero Man is not available for buying just yet.
Yeah. It better get licensed soon. If not, why? It has Stan Lee, but that's off topic.
It's a great show.
This anime really works. It kind of has that late 90s, early 2000s quirkiness that a lot of shows we've watched seem to try to go for but can't quite match. And it just works because it's a very human, grounded story about saving the universe with rock and roll from evil aliens.
It does a lot of different things.
And it works. It's part of a cohesive whole. It delivers it. It sounds weird and possibly kind of stupid when I describe it, but this is a darn good series.
It certainly is a whole.
I heartily endorse it.
Okay. I'm not sure I would suggest you go out and pay $50 for it unless you buy it through our website. Hint, hint.
In which case, buy 3 copies.
Give me money. Okay, but my final thoughts. This is a pretty good show. If it was... The main problem I have with TV shows nowadays is that, as I do not have a TV, a lot of them I have to watch of my own free will, just I have to actively choose to. I have a very terrible, terrible attention span, and so a lot of shows I tend to forget about. But if this was a show that was on, like, say, Adult Swim or something, it's a show I'd watch every week and be very entertained about, because it is a really good show. It's not one that would get me to watch it on my own, of my own free will, unless someone else brought it up first, or something reminded me of it. But then again, very few of our shows have done that. In fact, I think the only two are Hero Man, which is an excellent series, and Cash Earned Sins, which just really appeals to me. And even then, I've watched way more of Hero Man. Make of that what you will. I would definitely recommend this show if you could find it for a bargain, and because $50 for 13 episodes really is kind of...
It's out of print, unfortunately, so that's the best you're going to find.
Yeah. It's a really old show, so your best bet, if you really want to watch it, is online. But if you can find it cheap online to buy, go ahead. It's definitely worth it. It's an underrated gem. It's really good. I heartily endorse it.
All right, so...
This has been the 5-Point Podcast. I'm Burke.
I'm Bobcat, and next week we have a guest star, a legend maker, to talk about a show that he recommended, Black Scorpion, a live-action show based on the work of one Roger Corman. And if you don't know who Roger Corman is, you haven't watched enough Mystery Science Theater.
I thought we were doing that other thing with Yorocha first.
Nope, Yorocha is how we're ending the month.
Oh.
So... I guess we're going from well-done exploitation in this week to probably pretty badly done exploitation next week. Yay.
I hate you.